This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, February 24th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Trump to deliver State of the Union tonight. Europe holds up U.S. trade deal. And Feed the Future Labs funding offered. President Donald Trump has a crucial chance tonight to shore up his party's political standing heading into the midterm elections. Trump is giving his State of the Union message to a joint session of Congress just days after expressing anger over the Supreme Court's tariff decision, which is likely to figure significantly into his speech. The justices are expected to attend, but Trump said Friday he didn't care if they were there or not. Trump said yesterday it's going to be a long speech because we have so much to talk about. Farmers will be among the faces in the House gallery for Trump's address. House Ag Committee Democrat Don Davis of North Carolina has invited Nathaniel Simmons, a farmer and 17-year-old high school senior, to the speech. Davis told AgriPulse he believes allowing Nathaniel to tell his story could help drive a discussion among lawmakers over ways to help get more young people into agriculture. Davis also said he's a reflection, a symbol of the greater population that we have an obligation, a responsibility not to ignore, but to place back within their reach the ability to live the American dream right here on their family farms. Representative Juan Sistemati of Arizona has invited Arizona Farm Bureau Second Vice President and Rancher Ben Mangus to the event. Representative Mark Pokin of Wisconsin will be bringing Wisconsin Soybean Association President Doug Rebout. Representative Sharice Davids of Kansas will be joined by Nick Levitowski, an Executive Director of the Kansas Farmers Union. Trump's new global tariff, which he says will reach 15%, went into effect today. Customs and Border Protection, in the meantime, has officially stopped collecting the emergency tariff struck down by the Supreme Court. Amid uncertainty in the aftermath of the court's decision, the European Parliament will halt work on ratifying the U.S.-European Union Trade Pact agreed to last summer in Turnberry, Scotland, a senior lawmaker said yesterday. The deal had been set to face a key vote today. Clarity and legal certainty are needed before any further steps can be taken, according to Bernd Lange. He's chair of the Parliamentary International Trade Committee in a post to social media. The EU is particularly concerned that the new U.S. global tariff rate of 15% will be applied on top of existing tariffs. Under the terms of the deal agreed last year, most EU exports would face a tariff ceiling of 15%. The State Department is calling for statements of interest from organizations looking to host a Feed the Future Innovation Lab. The Trump administration issued stop work orders to all but one innovation lab last year. More than a dozen labs were idled, but the program survived efforts to cut its funding, including Pocket Rescission's package passed in August. The merger of the shuttered U.S. Agency for International Development with the State Department brought the program under the purview of the State Office of Global Food Security. A state official told AgriPulse in October that the department intended to revive the program. The department expects to issue 5 to 7 funding awards, according to the notice for applicants. It has $64 million in funding and anticipates a start date in late September. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Following the imposition of Trump's emergency tariffs, U.S. imports of Chinese used cooking oil plummeted, new research finds. North Dakota State University researchers note that used cooking oil imports from China fell 55% from January to November 2025, even as overall imports were close to the 2024 level. U.S. increased imports of used cooking oil from Australia, South Korea, and Malaysia, authors say. Tallow imports were also disrupted by the tariffs, with imports from Brazil contracting sharply after a 50% tariff took effect in August. U.S. buyers pivoted to Argentina, which was subject to a 10% tariff. Take note. Feedstock patterns are set to shift further starting January 1, 2026. The 45Z tax credit excludes foreign feedstocks, incentivizing producers to use domestically sourced inputs. A top USDA official is making it clear that any rollbacks of EPA's proposed biofuel blending rules would be a big mistake. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Stephen Vadin said the multi-year renewable volume obligations as written will be, quote, a game changer. EPA is poised to send its final rules to the White House for review any day now. Vadin and others at USDA's Agriculture Outlook Forum last week praised EPA's plan to encourage more use of domestic biofuel feedstocks like soybeans and corn, cutting in half the RIN credit for fuels made with foreign materials such as Chinese used cooking oil or Brazilian tallow. They also lauded EPA's proposed reallocation of certain previously exempted renewable volume obligations or RVOs for refineries by 100% or 50%. What if? If the half RIN is scrapped in the final rules, Devin Mogler, CEO of the National Oilseed Processors Association, says his group will, quote, keep fighting. We have to turn around and start working on the 2028 RVO, which is due this November, as soon as we get the ink dry on this one, he said. So there's going to be more bites of the apple if it ultimately doesn't end up there, but it's one of the most pro-farmer, pro-U.S. policies I've ever seen put forward in this space. On reallocation, Vadin was clear on the need for EPA to move ahead with its plan, saying it comes down to, quote, telling the truth about mandated volumes. Emily Scorer, CEO of ethanol lobby group Growth Energy, says she's optimistic about the RVO because Trump has been clear in his support for strong biofuel policy. Here's today's final word. I'm still poring through the bill, but I want to be very clear that I'm definitely not ruling out voting for the farm bill. That's Representative Don Davis, a North Carolina Democrat. When asked if he planned to vote for the farm bill, the House Agriculture Committee will consider starting March 3rd. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, February 24th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.